So, all right. How's everybody doing tonight? Beautiful day today, wasn't it? Man, it doesn't get much better than that for February. Maybe not just in general, but it was beautiful today. So, great day. Okay, so if you're here for Bible study and you didn't know, you're here for the marriage class portion of Bible study. So, surprise, that's where you're at. I think most of you have been here the past few weeks. So, Chris, is everything good with you and Abby? The last 2 weeks she's been here without you, and now you're here without her. So, I'd only say that to somebody that, you know, it's all good. We've been going through a study called Redefining Expectations. The reason that it's called that is because, well, I was looking for a title. And anyway, the goal is for us in general, in all areas of life, but especially in our marriage relationships, is we go into every scenario, every aspect of life, and we kind of have it played out in our head before we ever even get there. And so when things don't go out just the way that we think they should, then we end up in a disagreement on this, that, or the other. And, you know, I'm sure your marriage doesn't ever work like that, but it's happened like that in mine a time or two. And so the goal is to redefine what our expectations are. Our expectations shouldn't be what we think or we're going to get out of a situation, but instead what God is desiring for us to get as we go through it. So, you know, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, you'll have to go back and catch it. I really don't have time to review it, really any at all, other than to tell you the first week, we looked at just the foundation of marriage, what is marriage in God's eyes, what were His plans on it, for it in the first place, and then, last week we looked at preparing for marriage. And so I spoke, directly to the singles in the room. Those who are desiring to be married, those who have been married and are now widows, you know, we're single for a lot of different reasons throughout life. And so, the Bible has a lot to say about that. And so I want to make sure that if you didn't get anything else out of last week, get the point that, singles are extremely profitable for the church. Don't think that because they're single, they're not going to be able to be used. God can use them exponentially even more than a married. We looked at that last week. So anyway, tonight we're going to take a deep dive into communication. And you might say, oh, okay, well, let's back up. Without communication, and not just communication, let me back up. Without proper communication, any other topic we talk about with marriage will fail. Without properly being able to communicate, every other thing that we even attempt to get at, it will fail. But before we get there, and this is just introduction, but before we get there and get into communication, because if you ask me, I would tell you that this is the most important week of the marriage class. If you can't communicate with your spouse, it really doesn't matter how good things are in bed. It really doesn't matter how good you guys can resolve conflict. It really doesn't matter how compatible you think you are, even if eHarmony or whoever else I might be dating myself says that you're super compatible. What I'm telling you is if you can't communicate, you're not going to be able to minister the Word of God together. And that's the goal, right? And so before we get too deep into just the marriage portion of this, we need to establish three marriage truths. Three truths to help us kind of stay on track, stay on the same page as we go into this. And I have a lot of material to get through tonight. Surprise, surprise. There's always a lot. And so I'm going to try to move quickly. And so hopefully you can keep up with the blanks and whatnot. But these three things can kind of help us as we press forward to get this through this. The first thing that we need to establish when we're talking about marriage is men and women are very different. Men and women are very different. And let me say this, we're created that way. Stop looking at the differences in your spouse and thinking, why are you like that? Why don't you just see it the way that I see it? Why don't you think the way that I think? Our desires, our thought processes, everything is different, and that is by God's design. So that's the first thing we need to establish. The second thing we need to establish is if we're different, we need to find a way that we can both, and I say we, meaning us and our spouse, not me and you, but we need to find a way in our marriage that us and our spouse can both achieve our goal in communicating without tearing each other apart along the way. Because sometimes we desire to communicate, but even when we try to be real and really lay it out there, it comes across in a way that is very hurtful, in a way that, you know, they just don't receive it well. And so we have to decide that, okay, we know that we're different. And so if we're different, how are we going to achieve this level of communication and not just kill each other in the meantime, right? Because I'm sure at some point you felt like that in your marriage. I know that we're not supposed to get divorced, but we may not make it, right? This is crazy, right? We're just so different. And so we need to find a way to communicate without tearing each other apart. And then the third thing, and then, this is really important, in communicating the third thing we need to see is speaking in generalizations, because I know that this doesn't, not every marriage is the same. I think we would agree with that, right? But I'm going to speak in generalizations. For the most part, men are pretty much the same. And for the most part, ladies are pretty much the same. You'll get the wild card every now and then where it seems like it's flip-flopped. But in the most part, so understand, in generalizations, we need to understand these things about our spouse. And I don't think I'm far. I know I'm not far off the mark when I say these things. Men need and desire to be respected and reverenced. Men need and desire to be respected and reverenced more than anything else. And you thought he just wanted to be in bed, right? But men, they need to be respected and reverenced. If they feel like, and I say they, if we feel like we are respected and reverenced from our spouse, I feel like I could do anything in the world. There's nothing that I can't do. And so that is the need that we have. And so that's the men's biggest need, right? And so there's other things that go along with it. But women need and desire to be loved and to be led. Ladies, you have this innate desire to just be loved. That's why you're planning your wedding when you're 4 years old, right? Because that's just the way for the most part, that's just the way that you're created. You have this desire to be loved and to be led. Show me where we need to go. And that doesn't mean that a woman can't do it on her own, by the way. I think husbands, we understand that. But, man, a woman who knows that she can trust her husband to lead her, there's peace in that. And I know that because I've been told that, not just by my wife, but a lady that can just know that she can follow, right? And so it's the same way that when we know that we can trust the Lord and follow, I don't have to ask questions. I can just say, sir, yes, sir, let's go and get something done. So here's the million-dollar question. Because I know that it's like, okay, those things sound great, but here's the million-dollar question. Tonight we're going to answer it. How do we communicate our needs and desires to our spouse? I just told you what they are, but how do you communicate those things to them? Because your spouse is thinking, well, is that really what they desire? I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, yes. The answer is yes. That's what so how do you communicate those things to your spouse without them thinking that you're crazy, that you're trying to manipulate them this side or the other? And so here's the game plan to get it done, and we'll pray and we'll get going. We're going to look at 7 different types of communication tonight, because not all communication belongs in the same conversation, right? And I hope that kind of makes sense as we go. So let's pray, and we are going to dive right in. We got a lot to get through, and we're going to move quickly. Father, we love you. We thank you for your day, for today. We thank you for just the beautiful weather. God, we couldn't have planned it any better. You're so good to us. Lord, I thank you for your church, and just we're so busy about your work. We're building Bibles to send them halfway around the world, and Lord, we're building, Romans to hand out for the World Cup. And, you know, we're busy about ministry and we're busy about all these different things, Lord. And you allow us to do all those things, because without you, we couldn't do any of it. So, Lord, I pray that tonight, as we just hit pause on life just for an hour, that you would just allow us to hear from you, because this isn't just another thing that we're going through, Lord. This is right on time. And so I do pray that that you would allow us to hear from you, because these aren't things that I want to say. These are things that you desire for us to know. And I pray that we would be vulnerable to grow, Lord. Sometimes we get in a rut and we say, well, we've been married this long and we're getting along. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to grow, to be more like you. So, Lord, just use your word tonight to grow us from the inside out. I thank you for just your book, because without it, we'd be helpless. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. If you're speaking different languages than your spouse, how are you ever going to communicate effectively? If you each spoke a different language, how would you ever communicate effectively? Like, they speak Spanish, you speak English, and you're just like, no habla español, I don't know. And so you might be thinking, maybe it'd be easier, I don't know. I'm just telling you, there would be no communication, okay? Well, let me just tell you, a lot of marriages, I'm telling you, the husband and the wife, they're speaking different languages. It might be English, but I'm telling you, it's a different dialect of English, and you're like Chris Tucker in the movie Rush Hour. Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, right? Nobody is picking up what you're throwing down. You're not going to get a lot of movie references from me. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I know that one. And so nobody's going to understand it. So here's a bonus question for you to be thinking about tonight as we move through these seven things. Do you know how your spouse likes to be communicated with? Do you know how your spouse likes to be communicated with? How do they receive info, right? How does your spouse receive information the best? This takes work to learn, but let me just tell you, it's worth it. Let me put it this way, because maybe you're not tracking with what I'm saying. If I was to ask you what level of education you had on your spouse, what would you say? I mean, did you have to, like, test out because you couldn't even get your high school diploma? I mean, did you go to college and drop out? I mean, did you get your associate's degree in the way that they understand things? Or, I mean, are you telling me that you've got a master's degree in your spouse? Think about it like that. How well do I know how they receive things? Do you know how your wife likes to be loved? Do you know how your husband desires to be respected, right? Those kinds of things. There's just something to kind of think about it as we go through tonight, okay? So, let's dive right in. Seven types of communication in your marriage. None of these really have anything to do with the other. And so when I was putting this together, and I kind of revamped some stuff that I used several years ago, all of these are necessary, but they don't really go hand in hand. You can have some of them down pretty well, but without understanding all of these, there's going to be a disconnect between you and your spouse. Okay, so the goal here would be, hey, let's find out what we do well, but more importantly, let's find out what we don't do that well so that we can grow. Right? A lot of times when we're self-evaluating, we like to find the things that we do well and say, yeah, hey, I do that one. Right? Spot on. Okay, well, praise the Lord. What about the ones that you're not doing? And so the first type of communication in your marriage is what I call outside communication. How do you talk about your marriage? How do you talk about your marriage? If I were to ask your coworkers, your friends, your buddies on the golf course, your ladies at the hair salon, right, to rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 10 on what they know about it, would the answer offend your spouse? If I was to ask the people that you spend the most time with outside of your marriage what they know about your marriage, would the answer offend your spouse? That's kind of a question. You know, whether you like it or not, the way you talk about your spouse outside of their presence will manifest itself in their presence. Right? And that's why I call this outside communication. There are different struggles for husband and wife when we get into this, right? When guys get around their buddies, you know, they want to talk about, and I say they want to because I've been in these conversations. I've heard, you know, guys talk like, you know, the complaining spouse or, you know, comparing their spouse with other people, right? Ladies, you know, they kind of have some issues as well. You know, there's gossiping or comparing and this, that, and the other. And, let me just tell you, this isn't something that you grow out of. It's not something that you think, well, I've been married for a while, so I just kind of grow out of this. Actually, I feel like if you don't nip it in the bud, you grow farther into it, right? You think it's okay. You know, we go to lunch every day, and, you know, there's a group of guys that hit different restaurants, in Harrisonville. It's the same group of guys. And man, I've heard these guys talk Because sometimes they're at the same restaurants we are. And I'm like, man, God forbid that their wives heard the way that they talked about them. Right? And it's just in public, this side or the other. And, you know, the thing is, if you don't reverence them outside of their presence, how are you ever going to do it in their presence? Right? How would you ever know how to do it in their presence? Proverbs 31:28-31 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest above them all. Favor is deceit and beauty in vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Right? It says that her children arise up and they call her blessed, and her husband also. He praiseth her. Guys, when you're away from your wife, are you praising her to the people that you're around? It's just a question. Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is the crown of her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. Well, how do you think she's doing that? It's because she's talking him up in all the wrong ways when he's not around. Proverbs 31:23, here's the other side of the coin, though. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Well, how do you think he's known in the gates? Because he's got a good reputation, because everything that they've heard about this guy from you know, the wives talking together is, man, he loves me. He takes care of me. He's got, you know, all of these things going in the right direction, all of these things. At the end of each one of these, I told you we're going to have to go quick. I could spend a night on each one of these, but we don't have time. At the end of each one of these, I've got some different tools, because I work in the construction industry. I think you guys know that. I can have a trailer full of tools, but if I don't ever use them, it doesn't do me any good, right? And yet there's always another tool that you need that you don't have, right? But I could have a trailer full of tools, and if I don't use them, it doesn't do you any good. So I can give you these tools at each one of these, but let me just tell you, knowing about having this tool really makes it worthless until you actually use it, right? And so that's kind of my disclaimer for these as we go through it, because at the end of each one of these, I'm giving you what I would consider gold, right? The best way to apply each of these things that we're talking about. But it's only gold if you use it, right? It's only gold if you're able to use it. So the first marriage tool that we're going to talk about is never speak negative about your spouse to anyone. Never speak negative about your spouse to anyone. I don't care if you're hanging out with your sister. I don't care if it doesn't matter. Actually, in those situations, maybe even more. Right? Never speak negative about your spouse to anyone. Here's the one disclaimer I will give you. If you guys are in like professional type of counseling, you need to be open and raw and real, okay? But no one else. You don't run their name through the mud, even if they deserve it. You know why? Because that's not what you're called to do. You're called to serve them, love them back up, okay? Marriage tool number two, praise the things that your spouse does well instead of focusing on their shortcomings. If I was to ask you to give me a list of the things that your spouse does well and a list of the things that they don't do so well, I would hope that the one that they do well was easier for you to write than the opposite, okay? That would tell me how much you're focused on one or the other. Focus on the things, praise the things that they do well instead of focusing on their shortcomings. Marriage tool number three, and we'll move on to the next one. Sexual details should never be outside talk. Just so you know. And I only say that because I've worked in the construction field with construction type guys long enough in my life to know that there's things that are said that absolutely should never be said. Sexual talk is never outside the marriage, ever, ever, ever. Okay? And I don't know who I'm talking to, but like that needs to be no. That is inside the marriage context, okay? Only. Okay, the second type of communication we're in your marriage. This is what I call conversation communication. How your body language speaks to your spouse. How does your body language speak to your spouse? Words can only go so far. At some point, your actions need to mirror what you say. At some point, you know, you gotta walk the walk instead of just talk the talk. James 3:13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Right? Out of a good lifestyle. You want to know how good your marriage is? It's going to tell me by the way that you're living your lifestyle. 1 Peter 3:2 says, Sorry, you can just jot these references down. I don't know if I left them in there or not, but I knew I wasn't going to have time to flip to every one of these tonight because we're going to be short on time. 1 Peter 3:2. While they behold your chaste conversation with coupled with fear, right? Does your spouse think that your conversation, your lifestyle, your, you know, the way your body language is it a chaste conversation? Or is it like, man, what's going to happen next, right? Is it the next heavy sigh? Is it the next, you know, whatever else? And, you know, that might be mild to you, but I'm telling you, a heavy sigh in my house is like somebody screaming. So, you know, you just got to know. You got to know who you're around. And if you couldn't speak, ask yourself this question. If you couldn't speak, how would your spouse feel about your relationship? And hopefully relieved is not the answer, right? If you couldn't speak, how would your spouse feel about your relationship? Ephesians 5:28-29 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We'll get more into this in a future week, but he that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord loveth the church. Even the Lord the church. Is your lifestyle presenting it in such a way that, like, your marriage is just an overflow of what God is giving you and what God is giving both of you in marriage and what God is giving your family in the ministry? Or is it just like this dragged down burden? I got to do this. And it's just, I mean, we all have days like that, but man, we can't live our lives like that. You know, guys, we take care of ourselves, right? That's what it says. So we need to love our wife even as we love ourselves. You know, we want to take care of ourselves. We want to make sure that we're doing all the things and, you know, making sure we need to make sure that we're doing those things for our spouse as well. Let me give you some examples because I don't feel like you're really picking up what I'm throwing down when I'm talking about this conversation communication. Let me give you some examples. How do you greet your spouse the first time you see him in the day? Right? And I'm not talking about like when you're dragging yourself out of bed because like you kind of get a pass there, right? Ladies, you get a pass there. Okay. But what I'm talking about is I say ladies because guys, we can roll out of bed and I can be out the house in about a minute and a half if I need to. And not that that's a good thing, but I'm just saying like ladies, they like to prepare themselves. Well, so like the first time that you greet your spouse outside of after you've separated in the day, right? When you come home from work, when you, you know, get to see each other for the first time, what does that look like? Do they know that, like, you're going to be so excited to see them? Or is it going to be like, hey, what about this? Why isn't this done? Where about this? What are we doing with this? And, man, God forbid that's the case. You know, when my kids were little, you know, I remember like a lot. They're not little anymore, but I remember when I used to get home, Hallie was excited to see me when I got home, right? She and it was like the kids, they would be glad when I got home from work, but the first person I wanted to see when I got home, I wanted to see Mom. It's not that I didn't care about the kids, but you know, I want my wife to know that like she's the most important thing. She's what I'm coming home to. Yes, the kids, I'm coming home to them as well, but man, my wife is the queen. And so how does your conversation, your the way that you're presenting yourself, how does it make them feel? What can you do to make your spouse feel like royalty, right? What can you do to make your spouse feel like, you know, they're just the most important thing? You know, is it opening their door? You know, some ladies are like, I can open my own door. I'm like, I understand that, you know. Some of that is lost in our culture, but you know, is it opening their door? Is it pulling out their chair? You know, is it a physical touch of some sort? You know, we all receive things differently, but what can you do to make them feel like I'm the most important thing to them right now? It's not where we're at. It's not who we're around. It could be just me and that's what they're after. You know, that's what we're going for here. Here's another example. How do you communicate yourself when you're doing the things that they like to do? Notice I said they like to do. Maybe you don't really like to do these things, but how do you communicate yourself when you're doing something they like? Husbands, when you're at the grocery store with your wife, most of us don't think that's the most fun thing in the world. I actually really like going grocery shopping with Paige, mostly because that's one of the few things we get to do together. And so we do that. But anyway, like when you're doing something that they want to do that you don't, is it like, are we done yet? You know, I'm on my phone. Oh, yeah, I can do that. What is your body language speaking about doing something that they are enjoying doing? By the way, your wife probably doesn't enjoy grocery shopping either. She just understands the need there, right? What about when your husband's like, just come sit with me and, you know, and watch the football game? You're like, I don't want to, you know, and you're just like, well, couldn't we be doing something else or this, that, and that? All of those things are probably correct. But what I'm saying is, how is your body language speaking to how important they are to you right now? That's kind of what I'm getting at here. Here's three marriage tools that'll help you grow in your conversation communication. Marriage tool number four. Greet your spouse like they're the best part of your day. Because hopefully they are. Greet your spouse like they're the best part of your day. And even if they're not, treat them like they are. Right? Sometimes you gotta go through the right actions even without the right feelings. Right? Sometimes you just don't feel like it, but you know what? You know, I just need to do this. It's kind of like eating vegetables. I don't really like eating vegetables. I don't think they look appetizing. I don't really think they taste that good, but you know, my wife says they're good for me. And so, okay, maybe I'll eat them. So, and sometimes you do it, and then you know what you find out? This really doesn't taste that bad. Especially if you put a bunch of cheese on top of it, right? What I'm saying is, sometimes you just don't feel like it. Do it anyway, right? You chose to marry them. I don't know why you chose to. Well, you should have asked me that before you got married. You know, at this point, that's not the conversation we're having. The conversation is, you are married. And so, you chose to. Greet them like they're the best part of your day. Because you know what? Even if they're not going to, by you just going through it and showing them that, hey, I'm going to love you like Jesus anyway. You know, what goes around comes around. Almost always, right? Marriage tool number five. Tell your spouse you want to be with them in this situation, whatever it is. It could be sitting here tonight, even though you don't want to be, without words. Tell your spouse that you want to be with them in this situation without words. How are you going to do that? It's not always a pat on her tush, guys. It's not always what she's after, by the way. You know, you have to think more like them and less like you. Ladies, you have to think more like him and less like you. You have to learn how your spouse receives love from you. We'll get into that a different time. Marriage tool number six. Allow your conversation to flirt with your spouse more than your words. If all she ever knows is you're after her by what you're saying, if all he ever knows is those kinds of things by your words, then your words are going to fall flat. Allow your conversation, the way that you present yourself, the way you hang out with one another, this, that, and the other, allow that to let them know that you're interested in them in all the ways more than anything else. We'll get more into that later. The third type of communication, this is the most riveting, daily communication, right? Just the day in and day out. How you talk through daily tasks of life. How do you talk through just the daily tasks of life? Things like the kids. Where do the kids need to be? Which practice have they got to be at? Over here, you're going to be there. I'm going to be here. We're going over there. We got this going, right? Things like what's for dinner. You know the answer is going to be, I don't care. What do you want? So I can just help you out with that one, right? Nobody knows what we want for dinner. So, you know, just decide. Okay, so what's for dinner? What's on the schedule this week, right? Home tasks, who's going to mow the yard? Who's going to do the laundry? Who's going to do this, right? How was work? All of these things. Just the daily communication. Don't allow, this is like bonus, don't allow getting to live everyday life with your spouse to become work. You married them. Enjoy it. Like, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Right, just enjoy getting to be in their presence. The older Paige and I get, you would think there would be more time we get to spend together. And it's actually the opposite. You know, trying to do ministry and trying to run a business and trying to do all of the different things, I feel like we just, a lot of times, just see each other in passing. Right, so don't allow getting to live life with your spouse to become work. I like to say it like this, enjoy the grind together. Because life is a grind. It just is. Ministry is a grind at times. You know, work is a grind. Just enjoy the fact that you get to do it with someone and you chose that someone. Even if you're wondering why, it doesn't matter at this point. You're together. God has you together for a purpose. And so do it together. Enjoy the grind together. Let me tell you a secret. This is the most important and the least important communication at the same time. Now you might be like, that seems like a contradiction. Well, it's not. Let me explain. It's the most important and the least important at the same time. Without this type of communication, I don't know what I just said, your marriage is impossible. If you can't even talk through the daily tasks of life, if you can't figure out how to just communicate about who's going to pick the kids up here or there without an argument, this, that, or that, without being able to have daily communication, your marriage is impossible. But if this is the only communication you have, your marriage is also impossible. If the only communication you have is where are the kids going to be, what's for dinner, you know, how, who's going to do this and who's going to do that, then again, your marriage is impossible. You have to have it. It's one of the most necessary types of communication in your marriage. But if it's all you have, let's get on the schedule now for some marriage counseling because we want to catch it before it gets too bad. Because I'm telling you, you're headed in the wrong direction quickly, okay? Don't allow the daily conversation to become daily nagging, by the way. And sometimes, a lot of times we like to think, well, you know, wives, they're really good at nagging. Well, husbands, we like to nag about things as well, okay? So don't allow the daily conversation to become daily nagging. Proverbs 19:13 says, a foolish son is calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. And that could be the same thing for a husband as well, right? But what it's talking about is, you know, a drip every now and then is not bad, but if you're in a house and it's raining outside and it's just a constant drip, 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 eventually it's going to drive you absolutely insane. It's the same way with a nagging type of situation, right? The more that it comes about you, the more you think, I just don't want to do it now, right? I'm not going to at this point. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. One of the hardest things I had to hear from my wife at one point was, I just need your yea to be yea and your nay to be nay. And I'm like, I feel like I'm the most clear-cut guy in the world. And then she had to explain to me, different type of communication. We're going to talk about it in a minute. That's actually not what you're best at, right? And so sometimes you just need to make a decision and stick with it. Let us know which direction we're going, right? And so you need to understand, like, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. It's not always about, well, what do you want to do? And, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And, well, should we do this? And, well, should we do that? I don't know. At some point, husbands, lead your family. Yes, we're going to get up and go to church. Yes, we're going to, you know, follow the Lord. Yes, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that these are the priorities. And not that wives don't think those things as well. But what I'm saying is if at some point we don't stand up and say, hey, we're going to do this, husbands, that falls on you. Right? It does. It falls on you. Here's three marriage tools that will help you with your daily communication. Over-communication, marriage tool number 7. Over-communication is not real when both people care. Let me explain what I mean by that. Some people are like, man, sometimes I feel like there's just too much talk and we don't ever get anywhere. You know why you feel like that? Because you were checked out after about the first 3 words of the conversation. Be engaged. Maybe it has nothing to do with you. And let me just talk to the husbands for a minute. Because maybe it's flip-flop, but for the most part, let me just talk to the husbands for a minute. Sometimes your wife just needs to verbalize what's going through her head. And she doesn't need you to give a reason of how to take care of it, of how to fix it, right? She just needs to, like, get it out there. And she needs you to be like, huh, that's really interesting, right? Without picking your phone up, right? Without, just listen, right? It might seem like over-communication to you. You know what it is? It's you acting like you care, right? Sometimes we're like, man, I feel like all we do is talk, 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 and we don't ever get anywhere. It's because you're checked out. Over-communication is not a real thing when both people are engaged. Marriage tool number 8. Don't allow nagging to divide. I can speak this. I've seen this too many times. You need to give it to the Lord. If you've voiced what needs to be voiced and you're just like, I don't know this is ever going to get, just give it to the Lord. I mean, he's going to take care of it better than your husband or your wife would anyway. Give it to him. Voice it and move on. Don't allow nagging to divide. Marriage tool number 9. If this is the only communication present in your marriage, then let me just tell you, your marriage is on life support. And maybe you just need to hear that. and I hate to be the one to tell you, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad I was the one that told you. If this is the only kind of communication that you have in your marriage, you're on life support, and you might not even know it. Busyness is no excuse for laziness. Because that's what we like to say. We're just so busy. The kids are here, and the ministry's here, and this, that, or the other. And I mean, if we want to compare schedules, I'm just telling you, there's always somebody that's busier than you that's still figuring out how to get it done. We don't compare ourselves with ourselves. The Bible says that's not wise. What I'm telling you is throw the busyness excuse out the window, because what it really is laziness, right? Busyness is no excuse for laziness. Just because you don't care enough to put in the effort, well, I mean, that's on you. Okay? Daily communication. It's one of the most important ones. The fourth thing. I feel like we're making pretty good time. I feel like I'm also just reading off the page. But anyway, I hope this is decent stuff. But anyway, the fourth type of communication. I call this intimate communication. Intimate communication. How to reveal your heart to your spouse. And let me just give you a quick disclaimer. This is not sexual, by the way. Just because I said intimate, this is not sexual. I don't know. I'll try to be as transparent as I can. Let me just be real for a second. This type of communication is the most desired by both spouses and the hardest to have. I mean, it just is. This level of communication, it's the most desired, but the hardest to have. I'll explain that in a minute. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7 says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned." When you have intimate conversation with your spouse, there's nothing that can put it out. There's nothing that can put out what's going on between the two of you. And again, I'm not talking about sexual communication. I'm talking about when you can be real. Let me explain this just a little bit. This type of communication, excuse me, I'm sorry. It requires all walls and defenses to be taken down. To have intimate conversation, there can't be the last line of defense, right? You have to lay it all out there. Everything has to kind of be let down. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it?" Well, you know who could know it? Your spouse. If you would just lay it all down and understand that, you know what, this is the most intimate physical relationship that I'm going to have in this world. Obviously, you can have a spiritual relationship deeper with your Heavenly Father. But what I'm telling you is, like, your heart is deceitful. And your heart will tell you, no, I have to keep these walls up because, you know, I just can't trust them, even though we've been married for this long, or, you know, well, we just don't talk about things like that, or this, that. What I'm telling you, those are lies that you've chosen to believe. At some point, you have to lay it all down and just be real. It's the most real, it's the most raw, and it requires you to completely put yourself out there. That's why it's the hardest type of communication to have. Because nobody wants to put themselves out there. Nobody wants to put themselves completely out there. Why? Because if your spouse won't accept you, who will? So we like to put up these walls that basically say that I'll put my best out for them, and yeah, they'll accept all of that. Your spouse needs to be able to accept your worst. You, when you're just at your worst, knowing that they're going to be there no matter what, knowing that they're in it with you together. Because of this, a lot of marriages will never experience this type of communication. To have conversations like this, your feelings must be put to the side while your spouse speaks. These aren't, by the way, these aren't just like, hey, can we talk kinds of conversations. These are planned out. These are intimate, deep, we're really getting to the heart of some issues type of conversations. And when your spouse speaks, you got to put down the pride. You got to put down the, well, but you said, you have to stop and listen and let them really speak so that when they've spoken their piece, then you can speak as well. Not in an argument, but say, you know what, I hear you. I don't really like what you said, but I hear you. There's been times that my wife, and I try not to put too much out there, but we've had conversations where she said things to me that, man, she couldn't have hit the nail any more on the head. But it's not what I wanted to hear. It is not what I desired to hear. It is not where I thought that maybe we were. And the best thing that I could say was, I hear you. And I need to pray about it and just figure out where we go from here. Not that it, I mean, because it doesn't need to always turn into an argument. You don't always have to be right, believe it or not. I know the world will tell you something different, but these conversations can be good and bad conversations. I can give you some very vague personal examples, but you know, I remember a time we were having just kind of some deeper conversation, and you know, I don't remember even how we got there, but. I remember talking about like what my biggest fear was, and I had never really told anybody. Now it's not a big deal for me to tell anybody, but like I remember like at one point like I wouldn't tell anybody, and it was kind of a weird thing. But like my biggest fear, and you might laugh at me, but is that nobody will show up to my funeral. And you might be like, well, who cares? You'll be dead. But like that would mean that I didn't have an impact on anybody throughout my entire life. That's like always been my biggest fear, is that like when I die, nobody shows up to my funeral. Because it meant that I didn't impact anybody. And I remember the first time I told my wife that, I thought that, you know, she's going to think, I got to find a real man. Like, yeah. But that was like an intimate type of thing. You know, there have been other times where, you know, talking about what intimate conversations kind of look like is, you know, there have been times when, you know, there's been maybe some past sin that never got revealed. And we got, you know, so far into marriage and we realized that like, hey, we can't really do this anymore, and maybe we could have just glossed over it forever, and you never would have known, and I never would have known, but we need to have this conversation. Those aren't fun to have, but you know what happens when you have conversations like that? As you move down the road, you both can grow because of it. You know, you're not going to be able to grow the proper way when those same kinds of things are holding you down. It would be like a tree having like straps pulled down on it. And it's going to try to grow, but it never really can. And at some point, you're going to have to cut those things loose. And it might hurt at first, but those are the kinds of things that need to happen. Those are the kinds of conversations that need to happen if your marriage is really going to grow into this intimate type of conversation. Let me tell you, I have one that comes to mind when I think of things like this. It was probably one of the hardest conversations I ever had with my wife. And we had been saved for quite some time when this happened. I had never wanted to stop and ask her to get out of the vehicle more than I did at that point. Like, because I did not want to be together anymore at that time. But you know what? God used it for good. The whole thing. You know, and so these are the kinds of conversations that, like, this is what I'm talking about. You've got to lay it all down. Because when you do that, your spouse realizes, like, they're not holding anything back from me, right? They're not holding anything back from me. And you could paint, like, a physical picture with this as well if you were talking about, like, physical intimacy in marriage. And there's always a time when, you know, it feels like they're kind of holding, they're just here, but they're not really here. Okay, well, there's conversations where it feels like you're here, but you're not really here. You got to really lay it all down. Be completely open and available to your spouse. Because that's the only way that you're going to grow together. These are not your typical how was your day conversations. I think I already said that. But, you know, these kinds of conversations are going to take planning and willingness on both people. It's also going to grow your marriage the most. I can speak from example. They will grow your marriage the most. Let me tell you, personal pride is the greatest hindrance to having conversations like these. You might say, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean multiple things when I say that, but personal pride, it's the greatest hindrance. You know, here's why. These are the lies that we'll tell ourselves. Conversations like that really aren't necessary. We're doing fine. You know, we've been fine up until now. Why would we need to have that kind of conversation right now? We could always talk about it later. When it comes up, we'll talk about it, right? We don't really need to talk about it. Or, you know, when we talk about things like that, it just causes problems. And we just need to, you know, keep the water calm while the water's calm. And I'm telling you, you know why those are pride issues? Because what you're really doing is saying, I don't personally want to deal with it, right? I don't have time for it. They're not really that important to me. I'm probably not at fault anyway. And so, you know, a lot of times we just tell ourselves these things. They're excuses driven by pride. We tell ourselves that, you know, well, we just don't talk about that, right? We don't talk about that thing. We kind of both know it's there. It's kind of like, some of you might not understand this. Austin, you're young enough, you don't understand this. As you get older, you wake up and sometimes it just hurts, right? It just hurts to wake up. It hurts to go about life. And the next thing you'll know is like you're walking with a limp and you don't even know why. And it's like, it just feels better when I walk like this. And, you know, it's the same way in your marriage. You've learned to walk with a limp because when you put weight on certain areas, it hurts. And so we're just going to avoid that area, right? We know that, you know, that knee over there, in our marriage, it's not the greatest right now. Maybe if we give it some time, it'll heal back up. And so we walk with a limp instead of just saying, you know what we really ought to do? We ought to see the great physician about this and see what he's got to say about the way we should grow through this in our marriage. You know, but we all have things that we're like, well, we just don't talk about that. Or we both know that it's an issue, but okay, well, if you both know that it's an issue, why haven't you scheduled a time to like really talk about what we're going to do about it? Right, how God's going to grow us through it. I don't know how many times we've met with people for different counseling type of situations and we find out that like, yeah, we knew that this was kind of going on and, you know, it wasn't great, but there was this and there was that. You knew that it wasn't good, but you chose not to do anything until it was a catastrophe. It's a wonder that you're here. And obviously you don't say that. You might think those things, but if we would just see an issue and say, hey, you know what? We should probably do something about this. Hey, the car, the gas light's on. Maybe we should put some gas in it before we run out and then have to call somebody to be like, hey, can you come help me, you know, get back going again? A lot of times I think we feel like that's what marriage counseling is. We wait till we've completely broken down on the side of the road and then we call, you know, we call the tow truck. We call Pastor Brian and we're like, hey, can you get us back on the road? And you get back on the road and even a lot of times we just barely get back on the road and we're like, okay, we're good again until we run out again. We don't ever really address the root causes of the problems. These are the types of conversations that address the root causes of the problems. And let me tell you, they're going to be much, 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 much easier with just you and your spouse and not you and your spouse and the pastor. Those conversations are hard to have with the pastor. If you think it's hard having it with your spouse, now you're saying it in front of your spouse and someone else, right? And so what I'm telling you is if you know something's not right, address it before it's wrong. Because sometimes there's a little bit of, you know, if you know something's not right, address it before something's wrong. Here's four marriage tools to help you with this intimate conversation. Marriage tool number 10, you have to plan time for conversations like these. You really have to plan time for conversations like these. And you might be like, well, we don't have time. Well, that's because you didn't plan time. When you plan time, maybe you got to plan it 2 months out. Okay. You know, we know when the kids' ball schedule or ball game is on the schedule, we don't miss that for anything. So let me tell you, if you have a date on the schedule that says, hey, we're going to get together for coffee or we're going to get together and, you know, spend the night out together so we can address some things, I don't care what else comes to the schedule. You know what you're going to say? No, I'm busy that day. It's already planned. There's nothing more important than that. And so you might say we're too busy. Okay, find a day and plan it. And I don't care what comes up. That's what you're doing that day, right? You've got to make it a priority. Let your spouse know that they are a priority to you. That's where so many marriages go awry is they feel like they just aren't valued. You know how you let them know that they're valued? You give them your time. Right? You give them the thing that is the hardest for us to give at times. Marriage tool number 11. Pray for your spouse. Don't push your spouse. Pray for them. Don't push them. Sometimes we got some things we need to work through. pray that the Lord grows them through it. Don't push them through it. Maybe you're more ready than they are. Pray for them, right? Don't push them. Marriage tool number 12, ask questions, but don't expect immediate answers. This is something Paige and I had to learn about one another. Sometimes intimate conversations with us, they take multiple days. Because I need to know what the Lord has, right? And she needs to know what the Lord has to say to her about these things. And so sometimes it's like, okay, I hear you. You know, and let me talk to God and see where He's at on this. And, you know, am I really off here? And, you know, let me just tell you, guys, if your wife's bringing it up, you're probably really off there. You know, but yeah, ask the Lord as well. You know, pray like David did. You know, search my heart. Reveal to me any iniquity. That's a tough prayer to have because, you know, God knows you better than your spouse ever would. ask questions, don't expect immediate answers. Give space for a genuine response, not a programmed answer. If you want a genuine response instead of a programmed answer, give them some time. Because if you need an answer right now, the answer is, I don't know, or sure, let's whatever, you know, just something to keep it going. No, I would rather give you a genuine response, okay? Marriage tool number 13, never have a quote-unquote off-limits room of your heart from your spouse. There is nothing that's off-limits to your spouse. You got to be an open book. If there's something big, seek godly counsel. That's what the church is here for, okay? I mean, it would really be awesome to have somebody come in, you know, for marriage counsel saying, hey, we're not really that far off, but we want to make sure we don't get there. Can you help us with this a couple of things? Man, those would be glorious conversations to have. You know, I'm just saying. It's okay to be like, hey, we need some help. Because typically, if you wait to say we need some help, it's because it's way too late. Okay? That type of communication right there will get you through the hardest times in your marriage. Because you'll think back to times that you have those conversations and know that, you know what? They aren't going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Life has given us, like, a curveball would be the best pitch at this point. And it seems like it's one thing after another. But you know what I do know? That they're right here with me. Right? Because they can look back to conversations like these and know that, like, there's nothing. We're in it together. I could give you personal examples, times that, you know, I was ready to throw my hands up at ministry, at the Lord, and everything else. And, you know, we look at each other and we're like, where else can we go? God has brought us this far. He's not going to let us stop. It's not going to stop now. You just keep your head down and you keep going. And you pray and you know that, like, hey, they're there in it with you. Right? These are the kind of conversations that reveal that type of openness and trust in marriage. Number 5, I really should probably skip this one because I'm sure nobody in here has ever had communication like this, but in case you have, I call this heated communication. How you work through disagreements with your spouse. I'm sure that everybody in here doesn't have any problem with conflict resolution. You just kiss and make up and, you know, there's really never been a disagreement anyway, but just in case there ever has been, let me give you a few things here. If you think like that, you're lying to yourself. Every marriage has disagreements or arguments, but how you respond to them is going to reveal the health of your marriage. Ask this question. Do we fight well? Meaning, you know, what does that even mean? Do you accomplish something when you disagree? Right? Are you working towards actually accomplishing something when there's a disagreement? Disagreements are okay in marriage. Pride is not. There is no room for pride in a marriage. Proverbs 21:9 says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. If you've been married to someone, husband or wife, that is just an arguer, a fighter, you understand this verse, right? And you can grow through that, by the way. Proverbs 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. The same thing with a man as well. Just throwing that out there. We're not just talking about the ladies. Here's a question I have for you. Do you have what we like to call rules of engagement when it comes to a disagreement? Do you have certain things that's like, okay, obviously we are not seeing things face to face here. We're not seeing things eye to eye here. Do you have like some rules to fight by? Some rules to argue by? Because if you don't, I mean, let me just tell you, there's no rules in war. And so you got to know, like, where are the lines here, no matter what? Like, no matter what, where are the lines here? I'll circle back around to that in a little bit. But you should always have some rules, right? And I'll get to what that means a little bit more in a minute. So when something is resolved, put it to bed and don't bring it back up. Stop digging up old bones, right? Stop digging up old, when something is resolved, put it to bed, don't bring it back up. Make sure to always kiss and make up. I don't mean physically, but maybe I do. Maybe you need to make sure that you always kiss and make up. Have some way that you know that, like, this is us saying, it's done. We're moving on. And it's something that you're mutually doing. Like, we're both putting our seal on this and saying, we're moving past this. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but it says, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's 8 marriage tools, just in case you are somebody that, you know, why is there more of these than anything else? Well, we just deal with these more often sometimes. Here's 8 marriage tools to help you with heated communication. Establish rules of engagement to follow. Some of them that Paige and I established early on, I told you I'd tell you a little bit more about this. We decided early on after we got saved. I don't want to say early on in our marriage because I don't have time to share our testimony, but our marriage was, if you can imagine what the worst marriage would look like, ours was probably worse than that. And God redeemed it. And as only God can. And so, if you want details on what that sounded like or looked like, I'd be glad to tell you, but we don't have time tonight. But anyway, God can do anything. That's one of the main reasons I know that God can do anything. A few of the rules of engagement we established early on was no matter what the conversation is, the disagreement is, we will never use the D word. We will never use the divorce word. That never comes up. It never has come up since we kind of laid that out there. That's not a word that gets thrown out. We don't talk like that in our house. Why? Because that's not God's will. And our marriage is to give God glory. We both understand that at this point. And so if it's not God's will, then we don't talk like that. Other rules of engagement we have, we don't argue in front of our children, like ever. We can tell by the look on our face. Things aren't good right now. We'll talk about this later, but we're not going to do it in front of our kids. We just don't. You know, our kids even so much learned that, like, they would read our body language and, like, why are you guys fighting? We haven't said a word, right? And you, so your kids, they learn those things, but those are just some of the things that we kind of put out there. We're not going to do it. Some people would say, you know, we're not going to let it go past so many days. You know, whatever it is in your marriage, establish some rules of engagement, okay? You want to make sure that you can resolve disagreements that way. So marriage tool number 15. Only apologize when it's heartfelt. Stop saying, oh yeah, I'm sorry, when you're just trying to resolve the issue, but you really haven't repented, right? Apologies come after repentance, right? Repentance is from a broken heart. It is from a broken state. It's realizing that, hey, my sin has separated me from not only my Lord, but my spouse, right? You need to repent. And when you've repented, then you can actually make reconciliation. Okay, so stop with the, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Okay, well, why did you then? Okay, only apologize when it's heartfelt. Marriage tool number 16, never use the, what I like to call the deep cutting thing. You know what that is in your marriage. Don't use that thing that you know when you say, you just shot straight to the heart. And they're not going to hear anything you've got to say anymore. Because you basically just slayed them with your words. Don't use the deep cutting thing. You know, the best way to do that is whatever the deep cutting thing was, you put it to bed a long time ago. You resolved the issue and you moved on. Okay, but don't ever use the deep cutting thing. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. But if you do understand what I'm talking about, don't use that thing or those things. your words are like a knife, and you don't want to use them as a weapon against your spouse. Marriage tool number 16, I already told you that. Don't use the deep cutting thing. Ephesians 4:25, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying. When you're arguing, it needs to be the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Marriage tool number 17, keep things separated. Don't mix disagreements. Yeah, but you were doing that over there on this one thing, and then, you know, you realize that you're kind of getting behind over here, because that's what we do. We keep score. Like, we're getting behind, you know, I'm getting behind the scoreboard and the clock over here, so then we need to bring in this other thing, like, you know, I can equal this thing out. Now you've got two different, completely different things, and you're conflating them together, and now it's like, what are we even trying to accomplish here? Who's right and who's wrong? I thought we were trying to glorify God with this thing. And so, yeah, keep things separated. Don't mix disagreements. Honestly, you'll learn that if you take care of disagreements as they come up, you don't have to worry about, like, having multiple at a time. But I'm just saying, some people are like, we can't go a day without fighting. I mean, Paige and I couldn't go minutes. And now we go weeks, months. And so I'm just telling you, it can be done when you change your heart. You allow the Lord to have dominion over all those things. Keep things separated. Don't mix disagreements. Marriage tool number 18. Don't bring past sin into new arguments. It's only past sin, by the way, if it's been repented of. And when it's been repented of, it's been forgiven. And if it's been forgiven, then why is it getting brought back up? Why would we try to put Jesus back in the grave? It's been taken care of, right? Don't bring past sin into new arguments. The sin has been repented and redeemed and forgiven. Move on. Don't bring it back in. Marriage tool number 19. Don't keep score. I referenced this before. Don't keep score. You're not in it to win it, right? You're in it to give God the glory. If you didn't catch that on night one, go back and listen to night one, because none of this really makes sense anyway. If you don't grasp what we talked about at night one, none of this really matters, okay? Don't keep score. Marriage tool number 20. Learn to compromise. You're both sinners, right? Neither one of you are perfect. Ephesians 5:21. I love that this is the verse at the beginning of what we call the marriage passage in Ephesians. Because a lot of times we like to shoot right to wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. And they're like, what? Why? And then we're like, husbands, love your wives. And they're like, love her. And, you know, we kind of get defensive about all these things. And I'm just telling you, if we would read verse 21 first and realize that's where the marriage passage starts, we're gonna submit ourselves one another in the fear of the Lord. Okay, so everything's pointing back to Him. Everything that we're doing is pointing back to Him. And if that's the case, then wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Okay, I can do that because I'm pointing everything back to you, and I don't see really Him, I see you. I'm submitting to the position, not the person, right? And then husbands, you love your wife even though she's not really even worth it at times in your eyes. You love her because why? Because Jesus loved you even when you weren't worth it at times. But when you start the marriage passage with Ephesians 5:21, and you're submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, all those other things are much easier. Marriage tool number 20 or 21, and then we're going to have to stop for tonight. I really wanted to get done, but we can't. Have a clear resolution to each disagreement. Have a clear resolution to each disagreement. Know when you're done. Know when it's been resolved. For multiple reasons. One, because if not, the next thing comes up and it was never resolved, and then you've got two things going on. We already talked about you can't argue about two things at once. So have a resolution to it. And two, I speak this from experience, and my wife will chuckle, because when she'll bring something to me, and like, hey, what are we going to do about this, that, or the other, and so I'm like, I don't know, let me think about it, let me pray about it, and I do those things, and I talk to the Lord about it, and I come up with a game plan, and I'm like, okay, that's what we're going to do, and then I hit the ground running. I just forgot to tell her the play, right? And so make sure you have a clear resolution to each disagreement. Even if you've decided that, you know what, Lord, I am in the wrong. I repent. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Obviously, the Lord's going to forgive you. You're going to move on. Everything's going to be great. But if you don't ever come back and resolve it with your spouse as well, your vertical relationship might be good. But hey, you got to resolve it with them as well. So I speak that from experience, because I've been bad at that in the past. So make sure that you just have a clear resolution. One of the best ways to do that is have a way that you guys quote-unquote kiss and make up. Whatever that looks like in your marriage, the way that you're both putting your seal on it and saying, you know what, we're putting this to bed. It's done. We're moving on. Okay, you're right. We are. We've come to an agreement. And so when you have a way to kiss and make up or whatever that looks like, you can have a clear resolution to each disagreement. And then you can go about life and you don't have to worry about like, well, are they still mad? And well, I don't know. Well, let me dip my toe in the water and see. Oh, yep, they're still mad. But yeah, if there wasn't a clear resolution, I'm telling you, they probably, okay. So hopefully those kind of help. We really need to get to the next two, but we need to pray because that's more important than anything. So let's pray. We'll pick up here next week and then keep moving forward. Sorry, I really didn't want to have to drag things out, but I couldn't get it all done. Sorry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for being good to us. I thank you for your word, Lord, because without your word, I personally would be helpless. I would be hopeless. Even with Christ saving my soul, I still battle this flesh and the things that I desire. And without your word purifying me daily, renewing my mind, allowing me to grow in my marriage and submit myself one to another with my spouse and to love her the way that you love me and to see that she submits herself unto me as unto you, Lord. Lord, we couldn't do any of that without your book. And so I praise you so much for giving us your words in our own hands. And so I pray that we take it. I pray these things have been edifying. Some of these things are hard things to hear, Lord. Some of these things are, you know, kind of old hat. But at the same time, God, we need to be able to communicate. It would be like having a relationship with you and never hearing from you. And so, God, I pray that we do have open communication, because if we can have open communication, we can have open, open avenues for all the other, areas of our marriage, whether we're talking about our roles or our intimacy or things like that. Lord, we have to be able to communicate first. So, Lord, I pray that these things just fall out to the furtherance of the gospel, that you would grow us up, that you would get the glory for these things, and that we would really just take time this week to meditate on what we've heard and maybe just ask you the same way that David did, Lord, maybe reveal my heart to me, because sometimes we've kind of sugarcoated it and allow us to grow in the areas that you need us to grow. Lord, I pray you get the glory for all of it. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.